If you go back with me to chapter 14 in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah also speaks about Satan. And he is speaking about the end of Satan. Chapter 14 begins by talking about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And Isaiah lived during the time that the southern kingdom was taken away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And as Isaiah had been called to witness to the southern kingdom about their need to repent, he also is going to give them great insight and revelation as to what's happening in the spiritual realms and why things are happening on earth the way they do. And in chapter 14, he gives and reveals to us the ultimate outcome of this angelic being called Satan, this fallen angel who walks in rebellion against God and leads a third of the angels of heaven in rebellion against the Lord. Let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 14. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Now, just to pause there, has any of that happened to the extent that we see here? In our time, Jacob is back in the land. But people aren't exactly cleaving to Jacob. They're not cleaving to the house of Jacob. As a matter of fact, anti-Semitism is rising, and it's growing more every day. This verse has never been fulfilled in its fullness. So what was Isaiah speaking of? What was he speaking of when he was talking about this? Israel has never inhabited the full area that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know, as we see anti-Semitism being traced down through the ages, that the world has despised the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and doesn't go seeking their advice. So what's being spoken of here? I believe he's speaking of the millennial kingdom. There's coming a day where the Jerusalem will be ruled by the throne of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the world will be ruled from Jerusalem. Also, Israel will be brought back into the land. We saw that in chapter 19 when we looked into a little bit into the Battle of Armageddon. And that the Lord was there will be a third of the Jewish people that are alive on the earth will in a moment be redeemed. They will look upon him whom they pierced and realize he is the Messiah. He is their Messiah. What he came to do was redeem them from their sin. And he was the one that was promised to them by all the prophets. And they will be redeemed and saved. Two-thirds of the Jewish people already have been slaughtered by a world that hates them. But that third remnant of a third will be reestablished in the land of Israel under their king, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, they will be given great knowledge of who he is and his word and his authority. And those that are alive on the earth during the millennial kingdom, because there will be a number of people that go into the millennial kingdom in their regular bodies that were alive when Jesus returned and weren't part of the church that received glorified bodies. And as they go into the kingdom, it says that they will go and they will seek out Jewish people to tell them more about this Messiah. So they can learn more about his word, more about who he is. Oh, that today people in the world would long to do that. You know, just a side note, as we've been going through the book of Galatians, we finished it up on Wednesday night. But in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, Paul gives the fruit of the Spirit. And when he gets to the end of listing all the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. Yet we as Christians, we should be shouting from the rooftops, get the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. God desires you have it. And the only way you can get it is through Jesus Christ and making Him your Lord. And He'll give it to you freely. As you look around the world and you see hatred, strife, lies and murder, all the fruit of the flesh is there before us. And the amazing thing that Paul was teaching in Galatians is, why would Christians go back to the flesh when they've got the fruit of the Spirit and there's no law against it? In this day, the day where Jesus shall rule and reign from Jerusalem, the millennial kingdom, for 1,000 years He's going to rule and reign. During that 1,000 years, the Jewish people will be sought out so they can explain in greater depth who this Messiah is and explain this word. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And there he's back to speaking about what's happening with the Babylonian kingdom. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give the rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from thy hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased? And now he's going to begin to speak about the power and authority that was behind Nebuchadnezzar, and that is Satan. When it comes to the millennial kingdom, there'll be those who are there and they'll say, whatever happened to Babylon? Whatever happened to that power that was behind Babylon? Where is it? And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up the proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased and the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of rulers. And we see that that was, we studied that when we looked at the day is coming when we shall return with the Lord, when He shall come with His 10,000s of saints, and the authority and the power of the kings of this earth that stand in rebellion against God shall be broken. They'll not be able to stand in His presence. And it's an amazing thing as you go and you read, as we've looked at and studied in the book of Revelation, we're going to come with Him. We're going to, it says that we're going to be seated on white horses, just as He's coming on a white horse. But the amazing thing is we're not going to have to draw our swords, because He's merely going to have to speak a word and the enemy shall be destroyed. And His power shall be revealed to the whole world. This one who by His authority and His word spoke and made something out of nothing. That's power. That's authority. That's God. And it says here, He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruleth the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. I don't think that's going on right now. The first part of that verse that we read is going on right now. They're oppressed. They're held in bondage by the anger and the hatred of those. Satan is someone who is filled with anger. And those who seek to follow him possess the same character. But there's coming a day where they shall be removed, and it says here, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers, and it says that there shall break forth singing, praising the Lord. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. What did Jesus say when he went into Jerusalem? The Pharisees came, and the Pharisees were really inspired by... Jesus told us who they were inspired by. He said their father, the devil. The father of lies. Their father who was a murderer. That's who was inspiring them. And these same Pharisees came up as the people were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, that means salvation, salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the King of David. As Jesus rode in on a donkey. And the Pharisees came and said, tell your followers to be silent. What did Jesus tell them? Oh, if they were silent, the rocks would cry out. The rocks would cry out. You know, Paul makes an interesting statement in the book of Romans where he talks about that when the Lord returns and establishes his kingdom, an interesting thing's going to happen. Things are going to be the way that he wanted it to be. You see that it says the lion lay down with the lamb. When the Lord returns and establishes his thousand-year kingdom. And Paul said that when that happens, an amazing thing is going to occur. Do you know that the world, all of creation, is crying out in travail right now? Because of what? Sin. But sin's dealt with at Calvary. But the world still hasn't received their Messiah, but one day he's coming. That comes, literally the creation of the world is going to be what God intended it to be. Isaiah goes on and he says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And there he's speaking of what happens. When Jesus returns, Satan's going to meet him and he thinks he's going to defeat him. That's what is referred to as a battle of Armageddon. All they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Now, they're speaking to this one who's gathered all the nations of the world together against God. And they're saying, you think you're so powerful. You think you're so mighty. You've had your way with men. You've caused them to rise up in rebellion against their Creator, and those who have chosen to follow Him, you've sought to persecute and destroy. But what does Isaiah say here? They're going to say of Him, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? In other words, you think you're so powerful, but are you really? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and thy noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now I want you to understand, one of the things, when we read scripture, sometimes we need to understand that God is seeing perspective, because he's not captured in time, and he sees the whole panorama at once. We're enslaved in time, so we're going, okay, so what's he speaking of here? Okay, there's the battle of Armageddon, but then now all of a sudden we're jumping back and he's saying, oh, Lucifer, how art thou fallen from heaven? He's referring to him as Lucifer, not Satan. Lucifer means the bright one or the bright star. It means the one who has brilliance. And we read from, and when we looked last week in, we saw the characteristic of the creation of Lucifer and what he looked like and how beautiful he was. But as God looks at that, he remembers the day that Lucifer fell. And he inspires Isaiah to write, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? The one who caused the nations to become weak. Are the nations weak today? I want you to understand, if you just read and see what it's saying here, a lot of times we think that the nations are strong, but they're very weak. You may have those that are the tyrants that are leading the nations that come off with the appearance of strength, but they really had no strength. Where is true strength found? Jesus reveals us where true strength is found. It is the one who is the tyrant that forces someone to do something, the strong one, or is it the one who with a servant's heart does it out of his own will and desire to help and serve and meet a need? Jesus, who was the great rabbi, served his disciples. And they stood in awe. But he revealed to them where strength lies. Strength lies not when what Satan perceives strength as. So Satan's got all these tyrants set up, but these tyrants have created nations that are not serving their people. They're destroying their people. I just want you to stop and take a look at what's happening in the world today. Is it better to be an Australian today or 50 years ago? Are the leaders of Australia serving their people and meeting their people's needs today? I would say not. You don't meet people's needs by putting them in concentration camps because you're forcing them to do things against their will and things they should not have to do. You don't meet your people's needs by ripping their children out of their homes and giving them medical procedures that you as a parent who have been entrusted according to the scriptures with that child, and you are to be the one that is raising that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but now the state is ripping it from you and the leaders are telling them to do that. You're not meeting their needs. You're a tyrant. It says here, who created those states? Lucifer. Why? Because he's trying to create a kingdom. But when you are filled with rebellion and sin, all you can create is things that are rebellious and filled with sin. He says here, which did weaken the nations. They're made weak when you're ruled by tyrants. America is the most amazing nation in the history of the world, although we've never been a completely Christian nation. We had freedoms that had never been experienced. God gave us a blessing that he didn't even give to Israel. Just stop and think about it. In America, you could be from any nation of the world and yet you had freedoms and rights. You could come here with nothing, and if you desired to work hard, you could build a future for your family and your children. You had the freedom to go and learn all that you wanted to learn. No books were burned, no things were stopped from your learning. And most importantly of all, if you wanted to worship God, you could worship God 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 7 days a week. And nobody'd say you were wrong in doing it. That was our nation. Has Satan made it stronger or weaker? I think we're weaker as a nation today because we don't even know right from wrong. We don't even know who Jesus is. We don't even know how to worship God. And God's people don't even know how to worship God because of the deception of the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This isn't Nebuchadnezzar saying this, this is Satan saying this. And what he is saying is, I am going to be God. Rebellion. Have you ever had any of you who have children, have you ever had your children speak in rebellion? When they speak in rebellion, does it sound like Jesus or Satan? So I want you to stop and think about it. Whenever we rebel, whose words are we aligning with? I will, I will, I will. Not, I lay down my life for you. Satan said, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Dave Hunt said it best. He said, how many Most Highs can you have? There's only one Most High. But you see, if you don't believe in truth, if you don't believe in absolutes, if you don't believe in reality, you're going to think that you can be God. That's what Satan did. The ultimate delusion. I will be God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And that's what we see in those verses we read about in chapter 20. Is that going to happen? The answer is yes. Just as all these other things happened that we read about here, just as the world is being deceived, just as Satan raised up tyrants, just as Satan fell from heaven, just as Satan is trying to establish his kingdom on earth, just as there's going to be a great gathering in the plains of Megiddo, and the world shall come against Israel, but really they're coming against Jesus. Just as all that's happened, there's coming a day where Satan is going to be judged. Now this judgment is going to be a twofold judgment. The first one is, as we saw in Revelation chapter 20, that there's a strong angel that shall come down from heaven and shall bind Satan and place him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's during the millennial kingdom, which has not occurred. You know that there's Christians that are so deluded they say Satan's bound right now? I want to tell you, if you think Satan's bound, there are going to be real problems if he's loosed. My Bible tells me he's not bound. He isn't bound until the events that transpire and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. That's when Satan's bound. He's bound for 1,000 years. That's the first portion of his judgment. But revelation is given to him of what his ultimate judgment will be, and that is the beast, which is the Antichrist and the false prophet, which were the two-thirds of the unholy trinity, if you would. The false prophet representing the Holy Spirit, the beast representing the Son, and Satan himself saying, I'm God, so you've got an unholy trinity. Two-thirds of that trinity are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone forever. And they're going to be cast in when Satan is bound, but he hasn't been cast yet into the lake of fire. Why would God do that? God could have the power to cast him at the same time. One is, he wants to show and reveal to him what his ultimate outcome will be. And secondly, he wants to show him what he thought was his greatest power has been judged eternally. This beast that the whole world shall worship, this false prophet that shall lead all men to the beast, this unholy trinity that Satan's trying to put together shall be destroyed in a moment, and Jesus shall judge it, and the beast and the false prophet shall be cast into the lake of fire forever. And Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years. Why? Did you know that there's people today that say, well, if I would have been Adam, I wouldn't have sinned. If I would have been there, I wouldn't have fallen for that. Or there's also people that say, the only reason that I sin is because of Satan. If Satan wasn't here, I wouldn't sin. Or if God had just made this world and maintained it as righteous and holy, I wouldn't be sinning. You know, that is very presumptuous. It's doing the same thing that Satan's doing, because it's not even examining your own heart and how deceitful and desperately wicked our hearts are. That we need, the only way that we can overcome that is to give them to Christ. But those are people that would say that there's another way, another gospel. They would say that God, if he's a loving God, wouldn't send anyone to hell. Those are people that would present a different means of salvation that would be based upon works, their good works. So God is going to take 1,000 years, and he's going to bind Satan so Satan cannot influence any of you that would be left alive on the earth. And there will be people that will not be in the glorified bodies. If you are a believer, you'll be with the Lord. You'll come back to rule and reign with him. But there will be those that enter into the millennial kingdom as believers in the regular bodies. There will be the millennial saints. There will be Jewish people that came, a third of the Jewish nation that came to Christ. The scriptures tell us that they will bear children during that time, because they will be in their physical bodies, not their glorified bodies. And that as they bear children, these children will have what? A free will. So if you're a Calvinist in the group, you don't believe in the millennial kingdom, and they don't, and you don't believe that people have a free will, and they don't, but the Bible tells us they do. And it says that during the millennial kingdom, there will be many people that will be born during the millennial kingdom. It says that Jesus shall rule with a staff and a rod of righteousness from Jerusalem. It says that the nation shall come to worship him. It also says there will be consequences for the nations if they choose not to follow what Jesus says. He says that you need to come to Jerusalem, just as he did to the nation of Israel, to worship him. And if they refuse to come, there will be consequences, and you will read about that during the millennial kingdom when we study it. But those that are born during the millennial kingdom, they got a choice to make. Do I follow Jesus? Or do I rebel against him? And you'd say, well, it'd be really easy to follow because it's going to be holy and righteous and pure, and he's going to rule and reign with righteousness and truth will be evident. But at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan's loosed for a season. Why is he loosed? To tempt. All those people that would see and read the scriptures and say, if I would have been Adam, I would have never fallen for that. The choice will be theirs. Satan's going to come and he's going to tempt and he's going to one last try to rebel against God, but it's really one last try to destroy God's people. And then comes his final judgment. And he joins the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. Oh, Lucifer, how thou art fallen. I want you to stop and think about what Jesus has done for us. Every one of us had fallen from the glory that God had created us to be because we were sinners. And Jesus came, the one who is the God that reigns. He didn't come to squash us. He came to redeem us and set us free, that we could once again show the glory he intended us to show and bring glory to his name. I want you to see the picture of Satan. I want you to understand this murderer and liars that behind everything that's going on in the world, there is a real world conspiracy and he's at the heart of it. But there's coming his day. And his day will be when the Lord judges him eternally. May we stand and praise our God because he rent the veil in two for us so that we can come in and be his children. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Lord, help us to see the events that not only have happened in the past, but events that are happening right now and events that are going to happen in the near future. And Lord, you know the beginning from the end. And you rule and reign forever. And Satan is not going to sit before the angels in heaven. But he's going to be judged in a lake of fire eternally. Lord, help us to keep that in mind and focus on you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What was last? 492 is our last hymn. In a world of fear and turmoil, in a race that seems so hard to run, Lord, I need thy rich and filling. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I failed and delayed my trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come. When my eyes shall span the river, when I sail into this vast unknown, may I say with calm assurance, even now, Lord Jesus, come. Even now, Lord Jesus, come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I failed and delayed thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we thank you, and Lord, we pray that you would come. Lord, that the nonsense of the rebellion that is so evident in this world could be put to a stop, and truth and righteousness would reign bound with your love. Lord Jesus, come. This we ask in your name, for your sake and glory. Amen. We invite you all to join us for meal downstairs. And then also, I forgot to mention specifically, if you would, I mentioned it in my prayers, but if you would pray, there are a number of people that are very ill. A number of friends of Tom and Loretta have COVID and are very ill. If you could just pray for them. And then our nephew and his wife and their daughter Josie are, they're ill with COVID, and then Gloria and her husband Mike have got it. And also I did mention Diane. Diane has not been doing well. She's lost more weight, and when she came here she was thin. And she's lost how many pounds? 10? She lost 10 pounds. And she just pray for her that she would respond to the treatments and that the cancer would disappear and go into remission. And then also, if you could remember that others who are ill from our fellowship, I'm sure there's some that are missing today that aren't feeling well. It's that time of year where colds are coming, and so just pray for everyone that we can be together. But oh yes, and Kristen, Shelley and Wayne's daughter, she came down with COVID, and she doing better. Shelley, so just pray that she'd get her strength back as well. So there's a lot of people that are very sick right now. So. Okay. Thank you, and you're all welcome to join us for a time of fellowship downstairs.